Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. I appreciate the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak with you. I hope my voice is going to hold up. I've been having a little trouble with that. You know, about a month or a month and a half ago, I had been having some bad teeth, and so I had some dental surgery on them. And that was not a pleasant experience. But it reminded me of a preacher story I had heard many years ago. And you've probably heard this before. I think it was 8 or 9 years ago. Maybe I did a lesson and told this. But you know how old people, we keep saying the same things over and over to repeat ourselves a lot. But anyway, there was a preacher who was having trouble with bad teeth. And he had dealt with it for a while. And he finally said, you know what, I'm just going to have them all pulled out and be done with it. Get me some false teeth. And so that's what he did. And so the first week after he come back from having that done, he got up before the congregation and he spoke for 5 minutes and he went and sat down. The second week he got up and he spoke for 10 minutes and he went and sat down. And the people of the congregation thought, boy, we like that preacher's new teeth. You know? So the third week, he got up, and he talked for an hour and a half. And one of the elders finally got up and said, you need to come and sit down and explain to us what's going on. And he said, well, that first week, my teeth hurt so bad that I could only talk for 5 minutes. He said, the second week, it was a little bit better, and I could talk for 10 minutes. He said, this morning, right before I left the house, I grabbed my wife's false teeth by mistake, and I put them in, and I just couldn't shut up. You know, we've all heard stories about lessons on love, and rightfully so. You know, faith and love are the cornerstones of our service to God, and we're going to be talking about love some this morning. But what I would really like for us to focus on this morning is the opposite of love, which is hate. It seems like there's a lot of people in the world these days who think that it's okay to hate. You know, if you turn on the news or you get on a social media site, most of what you hear people talking about is hate and not love. I can remember back in 1965, I was 11 years old. And America was having a lot of problems just like we are today. Many of the things we are dealing with today were being fought over then as well. There were racial riots, issues with transsexual and homosexual movements. There was government corruption. And there was a lot of hate being spread around at that time also. And things really haven't changed all that much. But there was a young lady named Jackie DeShannon who came out with a song called What the World Needs Now is Love. And the first verse of that song goes like this. It says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. And here we are again, 60 years later, and what the world needs now is love. But since our topic today is about hate, let's look at what the Bible, what God's Word has to say about those who hate and who spread the message of hate, both in words and in action. And I would hope that you will pick up your Bibles and read along with me as we go through some of these passages. The first passage I would like to for us to look at is in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. There we're told, for we ourselves were foolish and disobedient and deceived. We were serving various lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You know, whenever we start talking about the sins of others. The first thing we have to do is acknowledge that we too were just like they are. We were lost in sin. Someone had to teach us God's word, whether that was our family or our friends or, you know, whatever, someone had taught it to us. So we need to keep in mind when we're dealing with people that they need to hear God's word in order for us to really be able to help them. Have you ever caught yourself saying, you know, I hate this person or I hate that person for what they've done? You know, we as Christians are supposed to hate the sin, but not the person. That's what God does. God hates the sin, but he loves people. But that's not what most people do, is it? You know, in the world, people attach the sin to the character of the person. And what I mean by that is somebody does something evil, and the world will look at them and say, oh boy, that person is evil. You know, that's just it. They condemn them right there. Like that's the only thing that person's ever done in their life. Well, when that same person does something good, do they put a good label on them and start calling them good from then on? No, when you view people like that, when you attach sin to the person, there's no forgiveness in that. There's no compassion and no mercy. There's just condemnation. But let's look at another passage in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. And here John gives us a good explanation of what kind of condition these people get in when they hate. He says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And before we move on from here, there's one more passage here in 1 John I want us to look at, and then we'll talk about these two passages. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. And here the author kind of ups the ante on hate. And he says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. How many times have we heard some politician or some news commentator say that we hate this person or we hate that person or we hate this opponent or that opponent and we're going to destroy them personally, financially, just any way that we can do it. We want to lock them up and throw away the key. Does that sound familiar? And here's the kicker. And then they proclaim how good they are. Look at all the good that we're doing. But boy, we're going to get rid of this evil guy over here. No, God says you are wrong in your thinking when you think that way. You can't go around hating people in life and then proclaim how righteous you are. That's just not how it works. God says that you are blinded by the darkness, and you don't know where you are going. You remember that old saying, the blind leading the blind? You both fall in the ditch. So how are we as Christians, you and I here today, how are we supposed to deal with those who do things that are so openly wrong that we don't like? Well, the Bible has an answer for that, but we might not like it. Because it's a tough one. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, here's what Jesus says. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you, and pray for those who despitefully use you. I can tell you, I don't believe most people do that, do we? You know, even though we should. Jesus says that's how we're supposed to do it. And this may be one of the hardest things a Christian has to do. But it's what Jesus said to do. And have you ever wondered, why do you suppose God tells us to do that? Love our enemies and love those people who hate you and are trying to destroy you. Well, I think the first reason is because God sees people different than we do. You know, God sees every person as having a soul, just like you do. You know, even people who are sinning, they've still got a soul. And God believes that He can change people. Specifically speaking, God's Word can change people. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Did you catch the first of that? "For the Word of God is living and powerful." My words aren't powerful, you know, but God's are. His words can change people. It gets inside a person's mind and it starts working on them. Maybe not instantly, but it starts working on them. And you know, the strange thing is, people will hate you for that. People will hate you for trying to help them. In Luke 21 and 17, Jesus says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." It seems that these days we have a very open war going on against evil. Things that people used to do in the darkness are now done openly. Acceptance for things that have been considered wrong for thousands of years are now being called good and right. Morality and religion, especially Christianity, is being attacked and mocked more and more. Satan has a firm hold on society today, and his tools to spread his evil message are abundant. Kevin had a good lesson in our adult class this morning on this. The internet and mass media have been used to further his cause. And so many people fall into the lies that he tells. And it's easy for us to get discouraged by what we're seeing play out in front of our eyes, and it seems like there's nothing we can do about it. But there is something we can do about it. We have God's Word. All we have to do is use it. Use God's Word. Sometimes I get caught up in these social media sites, and I get so tired of hearing people post, "There is no God. There is no Satan. It's all a bunch of myths. How could anybody believe this kind of myth?" Well, they put their faith and trust in man and man's wisdom and in science. Science, to many of these people, is their God. And sometimes, you know, in these posts, I fight fire with fire, and, you know, but that's not what you should do. You know, that doesn't really accomplish anything. So recently, I've tried to redo my attacks on these people, and I've just started posting a scripture. You know, whatever the subject is, I try to find a scripture for it and just put that scripture out there. And the other day I did that, and it was one of these people that was saying there is no God, you know, it's all a bunch of myths. He didn't believe in God, and I think I put Psalms 14 and 1, which says, how did that go? The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." And I actually got a response from this guy, and normally I don't get a response, but I did. And he said, "Well, do you think that means anything to me?" Evidently it did mean a little bit to him, because it got a response out of him. And who knows what that, when he starts thinking about that, what that could do. But you know, it really makes me angry, and I have to control that and watch what I'm saying. We hear these people who want acceptance for what they are doing wrong and claim that God would approve of what they were doing. They claim that God is love and would not condemn their wrongdoings. You know, God is indeed love, but he is also just. And again, Kevin did a great lesson the other day about the justice of God, you know, and how people in the world, they think, oh boy, that's mean. No, it's just in what he does. He also condemns sin, and he holds people accountable for their sins. Unlike our justice system of man, which these days just lets people go for committing sin. And did you know that there are things, and I know you know this, that God himself hates? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, and we could give a two-hour lesson on these six things right here, so I'm just going to hit them real quick. But it says, there are six things that God hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And I believe I've said this before, but you know, when God says something is an abomination to him, that's the worst of the worst. You know, you can't get any worse than that. He says, a proud look. Do we hear much today in our society about pride? Oh boy, we got pride flags, we got pride, we may even name a national holiday for gay pride. People that are proud of doing what's wrong. You know, that's just crazy. Secondly, he says a lying tongue. I don't know about y'all, but I can't believe anything I hear on the news anymore, you know. You turn it to one channel and they'll have this story and they'll say what they want to say, and you turn it to another story and the very same story, they tell something totally opposite than that. And they both say we're saying the truth, you know. So a lying tongue God hates. How about hands that shed innocent blood? You know, we hear a lot of talk about mass shootings and things like that. We hear a lot of talk about abortion. All of these things are people taking innocent blood. How about a heart that devises wicked plans? Who in the world thinks up all this stuff that they're trying to implement these days? Well, it's a heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. You know, over the last several years, how many riots and things like that have we seen across the country? And boy, they're just crowds everywhere. People just flock to that like it's some big thing. Or a false witness who speaks lies. In all these trials and things we hear on TV, it's always, well, we've got a witness here, a witness there, and they all get up and it's all a bunch of lies, you know. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Like I said before, boy, Christianity is being attacked so much these days, and some of the things you read that these people are saying it just makes you angry. But not only these things that God hates, but there are things that we are told to hate. In Psalms 119 and 104, we're told, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. There's many false ways going on in our country these days. And we need to use God's word against those things. And let the power of God's word do its work like it's supposed to. And it will work. But one more thing we could add to the things that God hates is divorce. In Malachi 2 and 16, it says, for the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. You know, so many people these days have no idea what God says about marriage and divorce. God says marriage is for a man and a woman. Not a man and a man. Not a woman and a woman. Not a half man and half woman to a man or a woman. But another thing God tells us about a hate is this. In Ecclesiastes 3 and 8, we're told there is a time for love and a time for hate, a time of peace and a time of war. You know, there's many things in the world that we should hate, but people aren't one of them. We all know those things, what those things are. We talk about them all the time. We see them around us every day. But we need to remember that we are to fight with God's word and with love. It's not hate versus hate. That's not going to work. Psalms 92 and 10 says, "You who love the Lord, hate evil." Hate evil. We're supposed to hate evil. You know, and we get condemned when you try to go and to say, you know, "You people, what y'all are doing is wrong." Boy, they hate that. They don't like to be told what they're doing is wrong. God says in that same verse, "He preserves the souls of the saints and he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." You know, if we would use God's word, we could turn our country back around. You know, it may take some time, but we can do it. Do you hate the evil policies being implemented in our country, government today? Well, we should. And we had better start using God's word to fight against those things, or it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. Another point we need to look at in regards to hate is not only are we told to hate evil, we're told to abstain from evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, we read, "Test all things and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Well, how do we know what is good and what is evil? Well, we're told here to test all things. You know, when you hear people saying something about anything, check it out. Find out for yourself if what they're saying is true or untrue. And what standard do we use to measure these things? Well, we use God's word. We use the Bible. The problem today is so many people in the world don't recognize that there even is a God. And so God's word to them is really of no consequence. And so that makes it tough, don't it, to deal with those people. Science claims the Bible is just old stories meant to scare people and keep them in line. They use man's wisdom to test things. And the problem with that is man's wisdom is always changing. Therefore, the laws that they make are constantly changing. There's no stability there in that type of thinking. There's no fairness or justice. And just like in the old times, when the people had no king and everybody did what was right in their own eyes, that seems to be where these people are trying to push it today. Well, that didn't work out too well for them back then, and it won't work out for people today either. Because God's word is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. His laws are for everyone, and they don't change along with society or as time passes. In Romans 12 and 9, Paul tells us, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good." Look at all the evil things people are clinging to in our society today. And not only do they cling to it, as we mentioned before, they're proud of doing it. You know, basically they're looking up to God in heaven and shaking their fist and saying, "We don't care what you say, we're going to do what we want to do." You know, and I'm not saying that I don't commit sin. You know, I probably sin one way or the other every single day, you know. But God will forgive me of my sins if I repent of that. These people who don't have God in their life, they're lost. You know, there is no forgiveness for them. God tells us to avoid these type of things that are evil. In verse 21 of that same chapter, excuse me. We're told, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So again, what are our main weapons to use against evil? Well, God's word is the only way that we have to fight against Satan and his demons. We have to use love to combat hate. Is that an easy thing to do? Nope. But it's what God says we should do. And if the thing is, if Christians don't do it, who will? God has always used men and women to get his will accomplished. You know, if people don't do it, what's left? In 1 Peter 4 and 8, Peter tells us this, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Why does the world love evil so much? Well, because it's easier to hate than it is to love. It's easier to give in to Satan and his wiles and satisfy our worldly lust. People look for the path of least resistance. And Satan doesn't give you any resistance. He just wants you to do anything you want to do. But without love for your fellow man, life is vain and worthless. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 8, Paul gives us a great description of love and how love works in our lives. In verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things, and love never fails. You know, it's easy to see from this description of love how it differs from hate. It's easy to see how through people's actions and speech will declare whether they are showing hate or love to their fellow men. God loves all mankind, even when we sin, but his love won't excuse you from your sins. In 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10, Peter tells us this, but beloved, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, sometimes we wonder why God allows the evil to just continue in the world, and it's because he's long-suffering and he wants people to change, you know. And it's up to us to help change those people. If we don't tell the world about God and his will, who will? And how do we do that? Well, you do it whenever you have the opportunity to do it. You show love to those that you meet and you know. You use God's word in your conversations with others. Online and social media sites, use God's words in there, not just your own thoughts. Try to put God's thoughts in there, because remember what we said, God's word is what has the power, not my words. So why don't we use it more? You know, so let's do it. And good will come from that. Because remember, God says His word will never return to Him void. We may not see the results of that, but there will be good results to that. And remember the song, "What the World Needs Now is Love." If you aren't a Christian here today, Jesus always gives that invitation to you to come and become a child of God. Or if you just need help with a problem or something, or anything else like that, come and let us know while we stand and sing the invitation song.